Right, good day and welcome to yet another edition of the Citizen Talk. This is a platform where we invite different people to come and help us unpack some of the most difficult issues affecting the country. Now, she was executive mayor for the city of Joburg and twice, but on both occasions, she was, ousted through, motions of no confidence. And she led the city through a coalition arrangement. And we're talking about none other than Dr. Mpho Phalatse, former Joburg mayor, who's going to be joining us to, sort of reflect on her time as mayor, albeit, a coalition agreement, just to get her thoughts. Are there any lessons that were learned throughout that whole process? I'm sure she's got a lot to talk about. So we'll be talking to Mpho Phalatse about that and many other issues, political-wise. We'll also touch base on the state of the country. Perhaps that's where we need to start. But before we get into the conversation, let me say good day and welcome to Dr. Mpho Phalatse. And thank you so much, ma'am, for gracing us with your presence.
A very good day to you, to your listeners, and thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Doctor, before we get into our discussion this afternoon or this morning, if one were to ask you, in what state is South Africa finding itself, how would you describe, some people are saying, we are in such a mess, and some people also believe that there's almost no hope, to get us out of this mess. How would you describe the situation in the country?
Our country is broken, and I would agree with that. If you look at where we are compared to where we were in 1994, some people would even say it was better back in those days.
Mm.
We've seen the ANC really run the country to the ground. We've got no energy security. I think that's the biggest challenge that's facing South Africans today. The fact that load shedding has become part and parcel of our day-to-day lived experiences is problematic. We're unproductive because of load shedding, and we've got all kinds of challenges that are related to it. Crime continues to be a big challenge. We're seeing murder rates that are soaring. It's really untenable. And of course, with load shedding, there's job losses, there's capital flight, and so on. So there are huge, huge challenges that are brought about mainly by maladministration for many, many years, corruption, and governance in the hands of the wrong people. I believe, though, that we've got an opportunity in our hands as a country if we can agree and wake up and rise to the occasion. We've got an election in 2024, and we believe that this election, by all projections, will see for the first time the ANC go below 50%. And what that means is that finally there's an opportunity to offer an alternative to South Africans. But South Africans must decide that they want an alternative. And that's really the challenge that I would like to put at the feet of South Africans. We've got an opportunity to turn the situation around. But the power is in the hands of our voters, our citizens, the electorate. And now I've just announced that I'm putting my hand up to make myself available for the role of federal leader of the Democratic Alliance. Many ask, why would I do that? Because I am aware of where we are as a country. I'm also aware that South Africans are looking for a viable alternative. I see the Democratic Alliance as that viable alternative, and I'm aware that a lot of South Africans would concur that the Democratic Alliance would be able to take this country forward, that the DA would be able to fix the challenges that we are sitting with as a country based on our good governance track record. However, there remains this trust deficit between the Democratic Alliance and the electorate, and that's something that I would like to help my party fix.
What do you think has led to that, though?
Well, one at top of mind is propaganda, of course. A lot of untruths that are peddled by opposition parties about the party saying, oh, the party is racist, or the party only takes care of minority interest and so on. Of course, much of that is not true. However, because we've not really invested as much as we could have in dispelling those untruths, they continue to fester and the narrative prevails and unfortunately affects us at the polls each and every time. I believe that we need to start investing in dealing with that. I believe that we need to start investing in connecting with the masses, the majority of South Africans, in order for them to give us a mandate to take this country forward. And I believe that 2024 is time for that to happen.
And do you think the DA has sort of lacked under the leadership of the current leader, John Steenhuisen, you know, in terms of connecting with those people in the rural areas, in the townships?
I believe we can do much better. I do believe that we can do a lot better. I believe that it's urgent. And I do believe that you need the right kind of leadership to facilitate that kind of connection, relatability. And I believe that I can offer that to my party.
Mm-hmm. And what do you make of John Steenhuisen's leadership?
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak about John, because my putting my hand up is not really about John. It's about where I would like to see my country going as a South African. And it's about me being cognizant of where we are as a country and the urgency of the matter. So John has done what he could, you know, in the time that he was leader under the circumstances. But I do believe that the current situation requires a different type of leadership. And I believe that his term should end with the Congress that's coming up in April.
Mm-hmm. And some of these issues that, you know, or concerns that you speak about, you know, from within the party, have you raised them, you know, internally? And what's the response been?
There's almost a fear to tackle certain issues internally. Mm. You don't talk about it, you know. And the one time when I addressed a group of Democrats about these issues, I actually got a standing ovation from people saying, thank you for breaking the silence, you know, because we see it, we feel it, but we're scared to talk about it. And that's a big problem. I knew at that point that we needed to do something differently internally. The DA is a great political party. It's a great party. It knows what to do. We govern well. We can take this country forward. But yes, we do need to deal with a few issues.
And I've read an article also recently, where Musi Maimane, the former leader, you know, is quoted, in fact, where you are quoted as, you know, praising him, you know, for the plans that he had, and you felt that, you know, during his time, he was actually on the right track. Do you think some of the ideas that he had, you know, in terms of taking the party forward, were just sidelined, you know, after he left?
I do think that, you know, it's never an easy thing to try and appeal to different constituencies, because you'd need to try and manage and balance different interests.
Yeah.
And that's what Musi was trying to do. He came up with the One South Africa for All slogan for the Democratic Alliance, and he was really trying to reach out to different population groupings in South Africa. And that's always a challenge. How you communicate is important. You've got to be very sensitive. You've got to be so aware and intentional in the language that you use and so on, because people easily get perturbed and anxious. And I think that's really what happened in that time. I do think that he was onto some really good ideas about bringing the nation together, because that's what we need. We can't be dividing the nation for where we're going. We need stability in government. We need to build. We need to see South Africa grow and develop. And that's going to happen when South Africa is truly united at a national government level.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, so if you've just joined us, we are in conversation with former Joburg mayor, that's Dr. Mpho Phalatse, where she's here to talk to us about so many different issues. Also, in just a short while, she'll be reflecting on her time as mayor, you know, of Joburg, you know, albeit she was leading that coalition, you know, sort of arrangement with different other political parties. Now, when we look ahead to 2024, Doc, again, I read somewhere where you were quoted, you know, well, not you were quoted as saying, but somebody else was quoted as saying from the DA that, you know, the possibility of the DA working, you know, with the ANC post the elections cannot be ruled out. What's your view around that?
I'm always very wary of making predictions on coalition arrangements ahead of the time. But I don't know what the ANC will look like at the time.
Sure.
I know what the ANC has been for the last 30 years, and it's been a disaster. You know, the ANC is the reason we are where we are today. And I'd be very wary of entering into any kind of working arrangements with the ANC in its current form. Because if we're trying to solve a problem by doing the same thing, then we're not going anywhere. So, you know, I'd say let's wait. Let's go to elections. Let's observe. Let's see who's at the reins of the various political parties. Let's see if there's any reviews of policies, ideology between now and then. Let's see if there's any significant change that can build confidence in ourselves as potential partners and also in the people on the ground, that these are parties that can be trusted. Ultimately, we want to rebuild our country, and we're not going to rebuild with broken tools, no.
Absolutely. Right. And now turning our attention to your tenure as mayor of Joburg, you know, albeit it was a coalition arrangement. How would you describe that whole arrangement?
It was very complex. It was not easy. You are aware of the instability that we had to live with for 13 months when we were trying to rebuild Joburg. That's part of the reason where I feel that it's important to work also within political parties to ready and position parties to be able to function in coalitions.
Sure.
Coalitions require a lot. They require tolerance. They require flexibility, compromise. Yes, it's important to have your own identity and your own parameters which you'd like to observe. But coalitions mean you've not won with an outright majority, and you have to co-govern. And there will be an element of give and take in order to make governance work for the people on the ground. And I've learned a lot in the time, many valuable lessons, even though it was painful, which I believe that I can give to my party and to a governing coalition of the future at a national level.
Absolutely. And I mean, when one looks at also, you know, the state of service delivery in the city, how much of an impact would you say, you know, this instability, you know, of this coalition arrangement has had on service delivery?
Huge. I mean, if you talk to officials
in
the city, right now you've got a mayor who, by his own admission, is a placeholder. You know, he says this is an interim arrangement. So officials are already anticipating there's going to be yet another change. And what it does to their morale and their ability to run with instructions, you know, you can force them all you like. You can try and invoke all kinds of HR provisions, but at the end of the day, if somebody knows I'm going to invest myself in something only to be told a few weeks down the line, sorry, stop that, we're going in a different direction, you know, it's really demoralizing, and I saw that in officials. Since my last ousting at the end of September, when we were reinstated at the end of October, from that time onwards until the recent ousting, it was very difficult. It was heavy almost to pull the administration with, because even when the mayor, the then illegal mayor left, his last words were, "We'll be back next week." You know, and so even though we were back, it was almost as if officials were looking over their shoulders all the time. You know, is there somebody else coming in? So it's really, really, really negative for service delivery. But of course, we've got the element of an administration that was in the hands of the ANC for many, many years, right? And with CADA deployment, the ANC would have entrenched itself in the institution. So there would be elements of ANC control working against you as the government of the day, trying to steer the ship. Consequence management is not really always effective in government. You know, politicians can't do it. It has to be done by other administrators and other officials, and it just gets so complicated. We didn't have a city manager. City manager is the accounting officer for the city. That's the person that as mayor I would hold to account. And we were not able to appoint a city manager. The first recruitment process we had to restart because of, again, coalition dynamics, because we have to all agree and we have to all be happy. And then we restarted the process. And when we were about to take the report to council, it was actually in the council meeting where I got ousted. And in fact, the speaker had refused to even table that report. So it didn't even make it past the programming committee. So you can see the politics at play, definitely because they're looking to appoint a particular individual who can carry out their agenda. And so it's not even about, but a process has been concluded and that was above board. It's about this person was not brought in by us and they're not going to carry out our mandate. I believe that the current administration is only interested in looting, and I believe that even if you look at what they've been up to in the last week since they took over, that's really all they're concerned about. So what does it mean for the person on the ground? And unfortunately, our residents suffer the most, you know, with this instability. But I would also like to throw the ball back in their court and say, in 2021, the voter turnout that we saw was very disappointing. Some of us crisscrossed the city campaigning and engaging with residents and hoping that come the 1st of November, we will see everybody flock to our polls. But no, it didn't happen. You know, only a fraction of a fraction actually bothered to show up. And the rest just sat back and complained. And when we're sitting with a hung municipality, you know, with bits and pieces of the pie, and we're trying to piece it together to form a government, it's really difficult. It's frustrating. The willpower was there. We had a great team of MMCs. We had great plans, but the instability just did not work well. Yes, we managed to achieve some things, and I'll always be proud of what we managed to achieve in the time, but we could have done so much more if we had a little bit more stability.
And I mean, when one again goes back to, you know, those last local government elections, the outcome thereof sort of signaled, you know, a strong message, you know, from the ordinary man on the street to say, I don't want, you know, one political party to have, you know, so much power, because we've seen over the years how, you know, the ANC in particular has been governing, you know, the city and many other parts of the country. So in a nutshell, people were just saying we are hurtful. And hence we're saying, let's rather get different political parties to work together, sort of sort out our problems. But when this instability, you know, keeps happening as it has been in the past few months, Doc, what do you think is running through that very, you know, same ordinary member of the public who gave a specific mandate to the parties?
I can only hope that they are watching to see what those political parties are doing with their votes. If you voted for a different party because you wanted the ANC out of government, and somebody takes your vote and goes and brings the ANC back in, you better be careful next time not to give that party your vote. And so I do hope that whatever is happening now will influence voter behavior differently come 2024 and 2026 at a local government level, because we must self-correct as a people. And we cannot be a people that sit back and complain, and when it comes time to take responsibility, we know it to be found. That is hugely problematic. We're quick to point fingers at politicians, but we live in a democratic state, and our democracy gives us the power to decide who's going to govern and what type of leadership we're going to have. And if we choose to abdicate that responsibility, we really have no right to complain.
Now, earlier on, you mentioned, and quite correctly so, you know, that had you, you know, had enough time, you know, to fix most of the problems in the city, you know, that would have been helpful. Now, that brings me to the point of Soweto. Soweto's electricity debt to Eskom. How far did you come with that? Because you had meetings, public meetings with the residents there sometime last year, Doc?
So, first of all, it's important to clarify that Eskom and the City of Johannesburg are two separate entities.
Sure.
Eskom is a state-owned entity. It's run by national government under Minister Pravin Gordhan. My role as mayor in the city was really to mediate between Eskom and Eskom customers who reside in Johannesburg, and that was my role. So I had no decision-making power within Eskom, so I actually had no power to deal with Eskom challenges except to mediate.
Sure.
between the two parties and help them find each other. I believe that we made a lot of progress. We started in Diep Kloof Extension 3, where my message was very clear that people must pay the fines that Eskom needed them to pay. Because I sat with Eskom and I said, what is the problem? And they said, people simply aren't vending. You know, yet they're using electricity. We are losing money and it's just becoming unsustainable to even connect the area. We've asked people to pay fines. This is the amount. And they promised if even 50% of the people pay their fines, we will reconnect them.
Sure.
Because at least we would have gotten a bit of a return.
Yeah.
And people started paying. They started paying. Much as, you know, they were unhappy about it, they started paying. And Eskom did reconnect that place. And the plan going forward was to go into similar areas because there's whole parts of Soweto that are affected by the same issue where Eskom had undertaken to go in and fix the problems, whether it was missing transformers that needed to be replaced. Of course, they also had challenges with stock and so on. But what I kept emphasizing is that they needed to strengthen communication with the people on the ground so they know what the plan is, how long it will take for it to be rolled out, and what their role is in assisting Eskom to do what they needed to do. So I would say we made a lot of progress, contrary to what a lot of people would like to peddle, that, you know, I was nowhere to be seen, we didn't make much progress. In fact, we did. We made significant progress.
Sure, yeah. And now, still, like, again, looking ahead to the 2024 general election, Doc, I mean, it's the much anticipated, you know, election, I suppose, since 1994. People are heartful, as I've been saying, you know, and people are tired of hearing promises. You know, people want to see action. People want to see implementation. When you approach the elections, you know, with just, what, 18 months to go or so, what message do you have for residents of not only in Joburg, not only in Gauteng, but South Africa at large?
South Africans need hope, and hope is what I'd like to give them. I'd like to give them hope of a better South Africa come 2024. But like I've already said, I'd also like to urge them to take responsibility, to bring that hope alive. We can make it happen together. These great political parties, the Democratic Alliance is ready to lead the change that South Africans want to see. But the Democratic Alliance will continue to reach out to them for their mandate because we can't govern without the mandate of the people. I'll put my hand up to help my party to connect with the people. I'd like to help package our policies in a manner that's palatable and understood by the person on the ground, the gogo, you know, the person who's never had an education must be able to understand what the DA is promising them. The poorest of the poor must be able to understand. People in rural communities must be able to understand what the DA is offering them. And I would like to carry that message to the people and get them to partner with the Democratic Alliance to be a part of us, give us a mandate to take this country forward. I believe that 2024 will deliver the change that we all want to see, but it's upon us to bring that about.
Wow. Folks, if you've just joined us, we are in conversation with the former mayor of the city of Johannesburg. That's Dr. Mpho Phalatse. Now, Mayor, while you were mayor, you know, and, you know, you were leading that coalition, arrangement, you know, when, you know, every time when there was instability happening, a lot of concerns or issues were raised to say, but it appears as if the DA, you know, is not really that keen when it comes to working with the EFF. Do you mind clarifying that for us?
So in terms of ideology, I don't think there's any confusion around the fact that the DA and the EFF are diametrically opposed. And so a coalition between the two parties would be almost impossible. In 2016, we tried, however, to have a loose relationship with the EFF, where even though they were not part of our coalition government, there was a case-by-case working relationship where we were able to discuss budgets in integrated development plans ahead of council meetings, and they were able to help us with numbers so we could get items over the line in council. Now, we were also a minority government. In other words, we were less than the 50% plus one that's required to make certain key decisions. Even though we had the Patriotic Alliance at some point, ever since they crossed over over to the ANC side of things, we were left in a minority position. And that meant that we would require a similar kind of arrangement with other political parties in council. And obviously with the EFF having 29 seats in council, in a council chamber of 270, 29 seats is quite significant. So that conversation started as to whether or not we can have a loose arrangement where on case-by-case basis we can vote with the EFF. The federal executive of the DA is quite against any working relationships with the EFF. Firstly, the Democratic Alliance made a promise to its constituencies that it would never work with the EFF after what happened in 2016. And there's a sense within the DA that we need to keep our promise to the voters who gave us their vote. That was the first thing. The second thing, of course, is just the fear of things getting way out of control, you know, with all the allegations of things that happened in the 2016 administration as an example. So yeah, there was great apprehension towards that kind of an approach, and the FedEx ruled against any kind of working relations with the EFF.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel personally, you know, just for a moment, you know, take off your DA hat. Personally, I mean, let's say, for instance, if it meant working, you know, with the EFF would have bettered or helped better, you know, service delivery. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, it's common knowledge that I did go and present to the FedEx that I asked for a hearing, and I did present a case for what measures we could put in place to ensure there's no abuse, you know, to manage any risks that we may have identified from past experiences and so on, but there was simply no appetite to even give it a try, so I had to accept and move on.
Okay. Now, currently the country is going through a very, very tough time, Doc. I mean, the electricity issue, it's a huge problem. You know, people are crying out there. What do you think is the solution, you know, to get us out of this mess?
Well, we need a change of government. That's the first thing. We are here because of the government of the day. The government we've had since 1994 has run our state-owned entities to the ground, and they need to be rescued from the hands of the ANC. That's the first thing. There are solutions. In Johannesburg, if you look at the power crisis, we were already working on solutions.
Yeah.
One of the things we were working on was bringing on board independent power producers. We had issued an RFP in November, closes today. The 9th.
Yeah.
Closes tomorrow, in fact, where independent power producers can, for the first time in the history of the city of Johannesburg, help stabilize electricity supply in the city. We had worked out that in order to offset load shedding, we'd need to produce an additional 500 megawatts of power, and we had a plan to roll that out. On the day of my ousting, I had a presser in the morning with City Power where we announced a plan to offset up to 3 stages of load shedding within a 6-month period, provided we were able to raise the 401 million rands that was required. So there's certain technologies that City Power was going to be able to implement to assist Joburg residents to offset 3 stages. 3 stages of load shedding is a lot when you've got up to stage 6 load shedding. But if you've got stage 3 load shedding, then it means you've got no load shedding.
Yeah.
You know. So those are some of the plans we were working on. Where there is a will and there's good leadership and there's good corporate governance, these plans can be implemented. Unfortunately, at a national level where we're sitting now, we really need an urgent change of government, so we can start turning entities such as Eskom around.
And I mean, talking about Eskom, what do you make of the leadership that's overseeing, you know, the energy sector as a whole in government?
Well, like I said, we need an overhaul. We've tried the ANC. It'll be 30 years too long next year. It's time as South Africans to accept. We were caught in sentiment. The ANC liberated us. Well, they're not the only ones, by the way, who liberated us, but they played a significant role in our liberation, ushering in our new democracy, and we'll forever be grateful for that. But they've not governed well at all. They've run the country to the ground, and it's time we accept that they are who they say they are, and it's time that we move on. We look at where there's excellence, pockets of excellence. We look at where the Democratic Alliance has been governing, And it's time that we begin to give such parties a chance.
Mm-hmm. And talking about, you know, a need for an overall, you know, a change in government. Actually, I did a story sometime this week, and one person, an expert, was saying to me, had the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, reshuffled, you know, his cabinet already ahead of the State of the Nation address, that would have then sort of signaled a message to South Africans to say, no, he's really serious, you know, in dealing, in fixing the country. Your thoughts on that?
I feel like the president is focusing on his own survival right now.
Mm.
There's a lot of politics at play within the ANC. I mean, if you look at what's happened in the last few weeks,
yeah.
You know, you're hearing rumors of the deputy
president
saying, I'm ready to step down. You're hearing rumors of the president saying, no, hold on, not yet. You're seeing Paul Mashatile getting sworn in.
Mm.
Something is brewing,
sure.
You know, in that space. And I believe that that's where the president's focus is. I don't believe that what South Africa needs is where his heart is. I think he's really looking at how he's going to survive at this time. Unfortunately, our residents are the ones who are suffering, and we need to relieve all of them.
Mm.
We need to just relieve them of their duties and take over from them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Doc, the coalition that you led in Joburg, you know, it was riddled with you know, so many difficulties. What kept you strong throughout that period?
Well, I'm not one to give up. You know, I trained as a medical doctor. I've worked in the public sector. If you know public health care in South Africa, it's not the best place to practice medicine. You have to be very creative and make miracles happen, you know, and do a lot with very little. So I believe that I was trained well in very difficult circumstances. You know, I trained at Madunsa, and we always say if you're from Madunsa, you can practice bush medicine.
Yeah.
You know, throw me anywhere in the bush and I can make a plan.
Mm.
And that teaches you resilience. You know, it teaches you to not complain, but to make a plan. It teaches you to be solutions orientated.
Mm.
And that's my disposition naturally. And that's led to my trajectory from the time I decided to quit my business because I was frustrated by what I saw, to the time I decided to go to school to specialize, to the time I put down my stethoscope at Alex Clinic to join politics. It was that I see a problem. Am I going to complain or am I going to be a part of the solution? And it's about looking for answers all the time and looking to be and to lead the change that you want to see. So I'm not one to give up. Yes, I was ousted. You know, I was not going to leave.
Mm.
I was going to continue. Why? Because even in the time, the 13 months that we were in office, yes, there were difficulties,
sure.
but we achieved a lot, you know, in spite of the difficulties.
Mm.
So it's about pushing through the difficulties and staying focused on the vision. Where do you want to go? Where do you see your city or your government going?
Mm.
And staying focused on that while you're warding off the challenges at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And again, if you look at, you know, this whole issue of coalition, you know, a government, do you think it's the future? Does it have a future in the country? If yes, what do you think needs to also be strengthened around that to make sure that, you know, we avert, you know, the kind of instabilities that we've been seeing in the city of Joburg?
I think that it's an interim governance framework.
Mm.
I don't think that it's going to take us into, you know, the future. I do think that for now, that's where we are.
Mm.
There's no single political party that's likely to get 50% plus one at the polls in 2024. That's the reality.
Mm.
So whether it's the ANC or whether it's other political parties, we will govern through coalition.
Mm.
Now, what needs to happen in the interim? Yes, we do need to strengthen legislation. And I've been given this example a lot of a talk from an ex-mayor from Denmark, now a deputy mayor, who came to address a group of DA mayors at a DA mayoral breakaway.
Mm.
And one of the things she shared was in Denmark, you're not allowed to table a motion of no confidence on a sitting mayor. It's simply not allowed. The law does not permit such.
Mm.
South African law does not have have those kinds of provisions, and yet we find ourselves now with more and more coalitions. We've seen in the 2021 election probably more coalitions than we've had in the country in the history of our democracy. So yes, it does say that the lawmakers need to get to work. I am aware that the Democratic Alliance is already busy driving some of that legislative reform at a national level. I'd like to see us close all those gaps and ensure that our governments are protected from the kind of instabilities we've seen play out.
Okay. Now, Mayor, lastly, congratulations, by the way, you know, on your wedding, and I wish you everything of the best with Harvey going forward. Lastly, Mayor, again, I repeat and I reiterate, South Africans are heartful with everything that is happening. And you mentioned also earlier on that during the previous elections, so many people stayed away, you know, from the voting stations. Again, as another form of or sign of saying, you know what, we've had enough with all these empty promises that you've been making. I'm sure the DA is also going to start with their own campaign leading up to 2024. When is that starting, and what message, and how are you going to sort of approach those very same people who stayed away and said, you know what, we're not going to vote, and what should we vote for?
There's a need for voter education. I don't think that it's everyone on the ground who understands the impact of their single vote.
Yeah.
I think many people feel like, well, it's just one vote, so it doesn't matter anyway. One vote matters. It's, you know, it can make a huge difference. And I think that message needs to go out to ordinary South Africans about why it's important for them to not give up on our democracy. The DA is getting ready to start its campaign. That's why we're having our Congress.
Sure.
Our Congress will give us the federal leader who will lead the party into that 2024 election. Our Congress will be on the 1st and 2nd of April at the Gallagher Estates in Midrand, and we will come out with a federal leader and various other leaders who will together then craft the kind of messaging that we will take out there. Now, should I come out as the federal leader, I will ensure that we craft a message that speaks to all South Africans, that we craft a message that is packaged in a manner that's palatable to all South Africans. And I'll make sure that we reach every single South African with our message, and not only in certain pockets or certain areas. I believe it's important. I believe the time is now to start having that kind of aggressive approach. 2024 is around the corner. We're literally, 14 months away?
Yeah.
We can't afford to waste any time. But I do hope that South Africans will partner with us in this, and we're coming to them with our message. I hope that they will receive it well and that they will reciprocate by showing up for themselves and for future generations.
Yeah, yeah. And in the event that you don't emerge, you know, as the new leader of the DA, will you still remain within the party, or, you know, do you have any other plans going forward?
I would definitely remain within the Democratic Alliance. I don't see an alternative for myself in South Africa at the moment. The Democratic Alliance remains, for me, the only party that can lead the change that South Africans want to see. Of course, it would be easier to influence the party from within if you are in a position of federal leader. However, should I not be successful, I would still find other avenues to be the influence that I believe is missing within the party. I am not fearful. I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to be unpopular. I'm not afraid to say things that other people are thinking about but won't say them. And I will continue to be that voice and disrupt the status quo, because I believe that we need to constantly introspect and self-correct where we need to, so we can increase our relevance and our connectivity with our people.
Okay. Lastly, Doc, your message to South Africans at large.
Well, this is an exciting time, and I know that there's a lot of darkness, literally and figuratively, with load shedding. But ahead of us lies a great opportunity. It's literally only 14, 15 months away, and together we can bring about the change we want to see in South Africa. I'd like to see South Africans rise to the challenge. I'd like to speak to the voter on the ground, and I've already done that extensively, show up at the polls and make your voice heard. But I'd also like to speak to technocrats. Africa is rich in talent. We've got so many people with so many solutions to the problems that we are sitting with, but they're sitting in the background. I'd like to challenge them to come forward. And yes, it's not easy. And it's easy to say, well, politics is not for me. I've been there. I was a technocrat in government. I ran my own business. But I kept being frustrated daily because I live in South Africa. And so I cannot separate myself from what's happening in my country. And ultimately, you take back your power when you stand up and you begin to drive the solutions that you would like to see. I'd like to urge all technocrats to consider stepping out and stepping into politics and being part of the change. We're going to need leaders. We're going to need ministers. We're going to need deputy ministers. We're going to require a leadership that knows what to do quickly, that can conceptualize solutions, implement them, and give to South Africa a brand new country and give them the hope that they carry. So I'd really like to urge all South Africans to be part of the team that's going to give birth to a new South Africa come 2024. It's a very exciting prospect.
Absolutely, Doc. And I mean, talking about leadership, this is a question I've always been asking different politicians to say, when it comes to leadership in government, do we only need politicians, or can anybody else, an ordinary member of the public, obviously who's got the experience, who's got the qualifications, can they also be roped in into the running and affairs of government?
Well, so you've got officials in government. Those are not politicians. So your DGs, you know, at a local government level, you've got your city managers and your heads of departments and so on. But you also have politicians. And I've never self-identified as a politician, but by virtue of what I do, I fall within that description. And we've always been so narrowly focused when it comes to politics. You have to have grown up in politics. You have to have been in student politics. You must have a history in your family. I have none of that. I literally just saw problem after problem after problem. And I decided I want to be part of the solution.
Yes.
And I realized where authority lies, and that's where I went, and that's how I ended up in politics. So yes, I would like to urge ordinary South Africans. Now, we're also gifted with, if you don't want to be part of a political party, I would urge you to align with a political party. It's so much easier to function within a political party. But if perhaps you want to stand as an independent, go for it. You know, go for it. Make yourself available. We do need skills. I believe that in 2024, it's not going to be about rewarding people for long service. It's going to be about where the skills sit to resolve the huge challenges that South Africa is faced with. And some of those skills, unfortunately, are not yet in politics, and they've got time now to hurry up and be part of the team.
Wow. There you have it. Thank you so much, Doc, for gracing our studios with your presence. Really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been lovely chatting.
Thank you. All the best. Folks, that was the former mayor of the city of Johannesburg. That's Dr. Mpho Phalatse. And until we meet again, folks, between now and then, you take good care of yourselves. Goodbye.